आधारमहदादीनां प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरं ब्रह्मधारयमाणस्य त्रयो लोकाश्च कम्भीरे. वर्ड फॉरवर्ड मीनिंग आधारम रिपोज महद आदिनाम ऑफ द मटेरियल सम टोटल नोन एज द महत्तत्व प्रधान द चीफ पुरुष ईश्वरम मास्टर ऑफ ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज ब्रह्मा द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड धारय मानस्य हैविंग टेकन इनटू द हार्ट त्रयः द थ्री प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स लोकाः ऑल द प्लैनेट्स च कंपीरे बिगन टू ट्रेम्बल. Translation empowered by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Please say in response. When Dhruva Maharaj thus captured the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge of the total material creation and who is the master of all living entities, the three worlds began to tremble. Purport. In this verse, the particular word Brahma is very significant. Brahman refers to one who not only is the greatest but has the potency to expand to an unlimited extent. How was it possible for Dhruva Maharaj to capture Brahman within his heart? The question has been very nicely answered by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of Brahman, for since he comprises everything material and spiritual, there cannot be anything greater than he. In the Bhagavad Gita also, the Supreme Godhead says, I am the resting place of Brahman. Many persons, especially the Mayavadi philosophers, consider Brahman the greatest, all expanding substance. But according to this verse and other Vedic literatures, such as Bhagavad Gita, the resting place of Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the resting place of the sunshine is some globe, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī therefore says that since the transcendental form of the Lord is the seed of all greatness, He is the Supreme Brahman. Since the Supreme Brahman was situated in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, He became heavier than the heaviest. And therefore, everything trembled in the three worlds, in the material and, three worlds and in the spiritual world. The Mahatattva, or the sum total of the material creation, is to be understood to be the ultimate end of all universes, including the living entities therein. Brahman is the result of Mahatattva, which includes all material and spiritual creation entities. It is described in this connection that the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is the master of both Pradhan and Purusha. Pradhan means subtle matter, such as ether. Purusha means the spiritual park, living entities who are entangled in that subtle material existence. This may also be described as Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, being the controller of both the Prakritis, is thus the master of Pradhan and Purusha. In the Vedic hymns also, Supreme Brahman is described as Anta Pravishta Shasta. This indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is controlling everything and entering into everything. The Brahma Samhita 5.35 further confirms Andantara Stha Para Manu Chaya Ananta Tarastham. He has entered not only the universes but even the atoms. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Krishna also says, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead controls everything by entering into everything. By associating constantly with the Supreme Personality in his heart, Dhruva Maharaj naturally became equal to the greatest, Brahman. By his association, and thus became the heaviest, and the entire universe trembled. In conclusion, a person who always concentrates on the transcendental form of Krishna within his heart can very easily strike the whole world with wonder at his activities. This is the perfection of yoga performance, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis, the bhakti yogi who thinks of Krishna always within his heart and engages in his loving transcendental services is the topmost. Ordinary yogis can exhibit wonderful material activities known as Ashtasiddhi, 8 kinds of yogic perfection. But a pure devotee of the Lord can surpass these perfections by performing activities which can make the whole world, whole universe tremble. Om Ajnanati Mrindasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Litamyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय बुधले श्रीमते ब्रजपतिनामने. नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय बुधले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनि नामने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चदादेशितायणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशति गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण. Here we have reached reading Dhruva Maharaj's austerities to achieve Supreme Personality of Godhead under the guidance of his spiritual master Sri Narad Muni. So until yesterday we heard that he performed severe austerity for 6 months, month after month. He was increasing the level of austerity and his concentration on Supreme Personality of Godhead became very intense day after day, month after month. And he now comes to the point where he captures the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, within his heart. And very, very unusual thing happens that just by his weight, he is able to press down the earth. And because at this time he was standing on one leg, practically the toe was pressing the earth. And at this time he stopped breathing as well, as we heard. So because he stopped breathing, whole universe also felt suffocated. They also didn't get life air. So this is quite mysterious, very mystical when we hear this. But Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely explained it. Prabhupada has put him in this purport. That is not very extraordinary, one who knows the science behind that. Because Lord is Parabrahman, He is source of everything, all living entities, and everything in creation we observe, everything comes from Him, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, everything comes from Him, He is original of everything. And in Bhagavad Gita also, 14th chapter, 27th verse, Prabhupada quotes, that I am the resting place of Brahman. Brahmano hi prathishtaham.
Lord Krishna says that I am the origin of everything, and Brahman, impersonal Brahma Jyoti, Brahman, I am the basis of that. So when Dhruva Maharaj captures such personality within the heart, naturally he assumed the same quality, same potency of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Lord is heavier than the heaviest. So it's not wonderful that, you know, Dhruva Maharaj could press down whole universe. There are a lot of mysterious things happen around us as well. But we take it for granted. But if someone is in knowledge, can see how it works. For example, here, these flowers. There are varieties of flowers here, different colors, different fragrance. So if you put, for example, rose, gardenia, other couple of different varieties of flower plants, and you water and fertilize it, after some time you will see different types of flowers come out of it. And all of them has different given same food and same fertilizer, but still different aroma comes out of it, different form comes out of it, different color comes out of it. Isn't it mysterious? It is very mysterious. Our body, for example, is full of mystery. We don't know completely. Medical science has progressed so much, still we don't know what is really happening in the body. If we knew, then we would have conquered all our problems, you know, for example, old age and death and disease, but we haven't. So we know partially, a little bit here and there, but we don't know fully. When mother, Krishna, I'm getting distracted. When mother gives birth to child, the child cannot eat anything, but Lord provides milk within the breast of mother for the time the child needs the nourishment. And when child starts eating grains, that milk stops, for example, isn't it? So that is also mysterious. So who provides that milk? How does that come from? We cannot say. If there is a little sugar in the corner where Charanamriti is, for example, you know, and in the other corner will find the way, and it will find the way and where the sugar is. So this is also mysterious. You know, there's a lot of mysterious activities happen around us, but we cannot explain how is that. If we can explain, then why don't we create one little creature, one little machine that is kept in one corner, and one corner you put sugar. So let that machine find the sugar. You cannot. You know. So only a person in ignorance cannot say. Why it appears mysterious? Because we don't know. We are in ignorance how it works. So we see its mystery. But person in knowledge of Shastra, the science of Bhakti Yoga, can understand everything actually works under the guidance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the one who orchestrates, maintains, creates whole creation, material world and spiritual world, and living entities, both Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Now here, Dhruva Maharaj, capturing the Lord within the heart, Prabhupada gives very nice analogy. In coming purports we'll see. He also explains in another way. He gives example of an airplane, that lot of passengers, hundreds of passengers fly in the airplane. Now each and every individual passenger is a unit energy. It's an individual energy. And whole airplane is a total energy, for example. So they all share all individual units share the total energy as well. The plane is flying on thousands of kilometers per hour. All individual also traveling on same speed, they are sharing the same force. But we don't realize that. We just take it as if, you know, oh, I'm just sitting in the chair nice comfortably. But one among them, for example, pilot, he knows and he has identified with the total energy. He has the ability, he has the capacity, he has the qualification to manipulate that total energy. And if he wants, he can do anything with that total energy. He can crash that plane. And if it happens so, all individual units also will get affected because of that manipulation of one person, one living entity. The same way here, Dhruva Maharaj, he stopped breathing and whole universe also felt suffocation because he became one with the Supreme Brahman. And one can argue that how come, see, this Dhruva Maharaj was just a boy. You know, he doesn't know anything. He's just a five-year-old boy. And see, when he was rejected by his mother, he couldn't do anything. Such a helpless boy. And how come he is able to tremble whole universe? So this is also quite interesting. But Prabhupada explains, Prabhupada gives another beautiful example. Nagna Matrika. So one cannot say that our mother was born naked, so he should remain naked forever. No. We all born naked, but now we learn how to dress up and present ourselves. And we present ourselves very gentle manner, very gentlemanly manner. So Dhruva Maharaj, at one point, he may not know the science to achieve the mercy of Lord. But now, under his guidance of spiritual master, he learned and he practiced and he achieved the results. The way that pilot in the cockpit learns how to fly the plane, and he learns from one who knows, and then he put in practice and then he is able to do that. So same way, in Parampara, Narad Muni taught Dhruva Maharaj how to achieve this supreme goal of life, and he practiced and did it. So at one point, Dhruva Maharaj may be ignorant, may not know what is to do in this situation, and he was incapable. But now he is not anymore. He has achieved. He knows. He is in knowledge. So that argument can be easily refuted. Prabhupada gives same analogy to express another thing. There were people, they were telling Prabhupada, see, this your Western disciples, they are all malechas. They born in Western countries where there is no culture, they don't know goal of life, they engage in sense gratification and all kind of sinful activities you can imagine. Meat eating, gambling, illicit sex. How come you accept them as a Brahmana or Vaishnava? It is not acceptable. Like that, you know, they were criticizing Prabhupada. So Prabhupada gave the same analogy. That at that point they might be, at one point they might be very sinful, but now they are not anymore. Now they have gained the knowledge, and they have practiced and they have become Vaishnava, pure Vaishnavas. So you cannot apply that logic. At one point I was ignorant and sinful, so I shall remain forever like that. You know, there is no way to out. No, it's not like that. Through knowledge and through mercy, one can become pure devotee. And in the end of purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely connects the activity of the preacher. Here we see Dhruva Maharaj received the power, the same power as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada connects that, that one who is constantly engaged in service of Krishna and remembering Krishna also can do very, very wonderful activities. The yogis can just do some kind of mystic activities known as ashtasiddhis, but devotees can kind of go beyond than that. And we see in case of Prabhupada himself, he is writing here, one devotee can do, just one pure devotee can do lot of great activities, that whole world become amazed. And Prabhupada did that. Despite of having nothing practically and going through so many obstacles throughout his life to fulfill his spiritual master's mission, despite of having nothing, he persistently continued to serve his spiritual master's desire. A few days back we heard how Gopal Deshpav related Dhruva Maharaj's determination and Prabhupada's determination to achieve his spiritual master's desire. His business got broke, his family wasn't supportive, then his godbrothers were not supportive, he didn't have any money, he was facing health problems, he was in his advanced age at this life. Still he continued, and then even after establishing ISKCON, it wasn't smooth sail, it was going. But still there were so many problems coming, Juhu temple for example. So like that, but he never gave up. He continuously kept serving Krishna, and we see here that today he brought a lot of change in the consciousness of society in general. Those days, word Krishna, and yoga, vegetarianism, karma, all the things were not known to the people. But now if we see, it's very common. People are aware of all these things. And they take a lot of good teachings from Hare Krishna's. There was one article long back written, Anil Prabhu was telling me. So one famous writer, Australian writer, he wrote. So he was writing about something else, and same time he was referring Hare Krishna also. So he mentioned, we all are little bit Hare Krishnas. So the point he was making, as you know, some of us are now, you know, becoming vegan and vegetarian. So that comes from Hare Krishnas, for example. Many people are into yoga nowadays, you know, so many yoga schools are there. So that's Hare Krishnas. Non-violence movement are there, you know, protect animals. So that teachings is also available in Hare Krishnas. So like that he was mentioning, we all are a little bit Hare Krishnas. So that's all credit goes to one person, is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. You know, the teachings he brought, Bhagavad Gita's teachings to whole world, is very incredible. If we see, that is also very mystical, isn't it? But one can achieve these things when one receives the mercy of spiritual master and Supreme Lord. And there is nothing impossible in that sense. Srila Prabhupada used to say, impossible is in the dictionary of a fool. So only fool can say it's impossible. And devotees are not fool, you know, because as soon as you start worshipping Supreme Lord, Supreme Lord takes interest in your life as well. And He empowers you to achieve the goals of life. And when Lord is with you, there is nothing impossible to achieve. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, can press whole earth. who can do that? You know, these boys have 5 to 8 years, 10 years, you know. We cannot, none of us can either do, what to speak of 5-year-old boy. But it is possible, when Lord is with you, it is possible. But when Lord is not with you, a simple task will become impossible. There is one beautiful verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if someone forgets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the simple task will become difficult to accomplish. And if someone remembers Lord Chaitanya, then most difficult task also will become very easy. In Mahabharata we see, when on 18th day, when Krishna asked Arjun, you get off from the chariot. And Arjuna asked in return, why? You know, he said, you will see very soon. So then Arjuna got off. Krishna released the horses. And then Hanuman also left from the flag. And then Krishna stepped down. And within no time, whole chariot got into fire. And then Arjuna understood. Krishna said that there were a lot of weapons fired on you. But since I was there, I was taking and holding them up, not letting them release their energy. So with Krishna, he is protected. Devotees are protected. And when Krishna is not there, same Arjuna who could fight and who could give very fierce battle, fierce fight with Lord Shiva even, the same person is getting defeated by some tribes. When Krishna left this earth and he was returning from Dwarka, Arjuna went to see Krishna. And he got the news that Krishna is no more. Krishna has left his world and ended his Bhauma Leela. So he brought all the wives of Krishna, thinking that now no one is there to protect them. Let's take them to Hastinapur and they can live happily and we can look after them in Hastinapur. And he was bringing them. And on the way, before reaching Hastinapur, some tribes attacked Arjuna. And Arjuna started fighting with him and protecting, trying to protect him. But he couldn't. Can you imagine? And then all the wives of Krishna, queens of Dwarka, they were captured and kidnapped by these tribes. And Arjuna got defeated. So here, there's another point here, side lessons. But thing is, main point is, when Krishna is not there, and if Krishna doesn't want, one cannot achieve anything in the life. But Krishna is there, then everything can be achieved in life. Afterwards? Okay. Today is appearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. So we'll hear a little bit about him as well. But since you have asked some question on the topic of Bhagavatam, we'll answer that and we'll move to hearing glories of Gadadhar Pandit. Please.
It was not a question. The story that you told, those tribes were actually the gopas to
take
them to the spiritual
world. That's right. Yeah. There you go. So there are other teachings as well, other things also involved. It's Krishna's desire to wind up his Leela. So it was arranged by Krishna. So that's why even Arjuna couldn't change the plan of Krishna basically. So it was already orchestrated by Lord Krishna himself. So you are right.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri
Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद चैतन्य रदास मुनि चैतन्य रदास चैतन्य रदास मुनि चैतन्य रदास चैतन्य रदास मुनि तंद्र दासिर दास दास मुनि तंद्र दासिर दास चैतन्य रदास मुनि तंद्र दासिर दास चैतन्य रदास मुनि चैतन्य रदास चैतन्य रदास मुनि चैतन्य रदास चैतन्य रदास मुनि तंद्र दासिर हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita writes that Lord Krishna is appearing in this material world in this Kali Yuga in five features, and we call them, and of course Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Panch Tattva, five truths. So these all five personalities, these five truths are non-different than Krishna. They are one and the same. But when we categorically analyze, they all are different energies of the Lord. And they all take individual personalities, form of individual personality. And there is a verse there, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Panchatattvakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So here are the five truths mentioned, Panchatattva. So who are they? Bhakta Rupam is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna appeared in this age of Kali as a Bhakta, devotee of the Lord. His desire was to relish the bliss and mellow experienced by Srimati Radharani. And he wondered, she is always gaining more than what I experience. Because Radharani is always serving Sri Krishna. And Krishna is always enjoying Radharani's service. So one is enjoyed and one is enjoyer. But still, Krishna sees that I am supposed to be enjoying the most, but Radharani is enjoying more than me. So how come? I want to experience that. How come is this possible? So then he desires to take a form with the mode of Srimati Radharani, and he wants to become servant of Lord Krishna, who is none other than himself. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is combined incarnation of Radha and Krishna, and he acts as a devotee of Lord Krishna, who wants to experience the mellow, the pleasure of serving Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So Bhakta Rupa is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bhakta Swarupam is Lord Nityananda. He is none other than Lord Balram. Then Bhakta Avatar is Sri Advaita Acharya. Krishna, please. Bhakta Avatar is Advaita Acharya. He is incarnation of a devotee. And Bhaktakhyam, Advaita Acharya is also combined incarnation of Sadashiv and Mahavishnu. And Bhaktakhyam is incarnation of a pure devotee. He is Narad Muni himself. And in Panchatattva, he appeared as Srivas Thakur. And Bhakta Shaktikam is Srimati Radharani herself. In Panchatattva, she is known as Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Gadadhar Pandit. So these five personalities, Chaitanya, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar and Srivas Acharya. Now one can say that Radharani is always also there, already there. She is there in form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How come and why she has to appear as Gadadhar Pandit as well? A different, same form. It's also mysterious. Again, and we talk about mystery. But we can understand that Srimati Radharani cannot be separated. She can never bear separation from Krishna. She always wants to serve His beloved Sri Krishna. So, to facilitate Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, she appears as Gadadhar Pandit to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear lot of beautiful activities of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, his very extraordinary qualities, and the way he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We may not go and hear all the leelas, but some of them I'll mention in brief and some of them in little bit detail. Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit was a little younger than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maybe about 1 year old, 1 year younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they both were very good friends from childhood. They were playing together, eating together, studying together, everything they would do together. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that time he didn't play the role of devotee, but he was a kind of scholar. He was known as Nimai that time, and he took the role of a scholar. Whereas Advaita Gadadhar Pandit, from childhood he was from that age he was very nice devotee, very devoted devotee of Lord Krishna from childhood, and he was very gentle and soft-hearted in the nature. He wouldn't like to offend anyone, for example. We'll hear one pastime later on. It's very gentle and very, very soft-hearted and very mannerly from childhood. And it is said, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mentions, that he never ever had a single material desire. Apart from serving Krishna, there was no other desire within his heart. Such a pure devotee he was. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, as a friend, they would study also together. So, Mahaprabhu, time to time, gets into argument with Gadadhar Pandit. And he would put forward a lot of points from Shastra. You know, here it says this, here that says that. So please explain what is that. And then Gadadhar Pandit would explain. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, would defeat that. No, no, you are wrong. You know, this is how, this is how, this is how. For example, what is liberation? So Gadadhar Pandit would answer, this is liberation. So Mahaprabhu would again quote different Shastra and then, you know, defeat Gadadhar Pandit. And then tell me, are you defeated or no? He would challenge Gadadhar Pandit. And then Mahaprabhu says, okay, so today I'll let you go. Tomorrow again you study and come back. We'll have an argument again. And let's see who wins. So Gadadhar Pandit would, you know, touch his feet and then go away. So he was, Gadadhar Pandit was always worried. Because he wouldn't like to hear anything other than Krishna. Krishna's glories. But here, this Nimai was always talking about tark, vitark, logic and all these things, you know, nyaya and impersonalism also. So all these things he would talk. So Gadadhar Pandit wouldn't like that. And he, time to time, felt, you know, I don't want to associate with him. But he cannot go away from him either. Because Mahaprabhu was so beautiful and so charming, so attractive, that Gadadhar Pandit couldn't disconnect himself from being with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit. So he would in his heart pray to Krishna that please make this Nimai a devotee, a Vaishnava. Then there will be wonder, there will be glories, Krishna's glory spread all over the world. Please make him devotee. So like that he would pray. And so happened that after some time, when Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, he completely transformed. He became devotee and the news reached to Navadvip that Mahaprabhu has returned from Gaya and now he is always chanting Krishna's glories. He is always keep chanting Krishna's glories and dancing and doing kirtan. He cannot do anything else. Just he's glorifying Krishna, he's doing kirtan, loud chanting, and he has become devotee. So everyone felt so much joy within their heart hearing that, and especially Gadadhar Pandit. He became so joyful that now Nimai has become Vaishnava. And they both, now their association, all the time they do is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Krishna's glories and chanting together. And they both would cry together, feeling separation of Krishna. One time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Gadadhar Pandit's house and he came with the request that, see, daily I worship Shaligram Sridhar. As a grahastha, it is a duty to worship Shaligram Krishna. So I do that. But as soon as I sit down in front of Shaligrams, I start crying. Tears flow from my eyes and I just get up, again take bath and put up new clothes and then again come back. And as soon as I start worshipping, again I start crying. I cannot control myself. And again I take bath, again change clothes and come back and again start. I can't do that. I cannot proceed my worship of Shaligram. So please, I request you to take over and please worship on my behalf this Shaligram Srilas. And then Gadadhar Pandit accepted that service and he would do for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, Gadadha Pandit went to Chaitanya Prabhu's house. And Krishna, Chaitanya, he was in his ecstasy, calling out Krishna's name. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Sachi Mata was also present. And Gadadha Pandit said, oh, he is in your heart. So Mahaprabhu, as soon as he heard that, he started ripping his heart with his nail. And seeing that, it was so terrible for Sachi Mataji, and it was so painful. And then he was about to rip off his heart to see, Krishna is in my heart, you said he is in here, so let me open and see. So like that he started ripping his heart, chest. And Gadadhar Pandit went and stopped him and pacified him. No, no, don't worry, don't worry. Krishna is coming, he'll come, he is coming. So then he got pacified. And Sachi Mataji saw that. And she felt that, you know, when my Nimai goes into such ecstasies and this kind of situation, even I cannot help. And I don't know what to do. But here, this Gadadhar Pandit, he is so nice and he has so nicely pacified my son. So she requests Gadadhar Pandit that you always stay with my son and always look after him. Only you can look after him so nicely, even I can't. So Gadadhar Pandit henceforward always remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make her mother happy. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit and one more devotee, I forget his name, they were walking around Navdvip. And there was one parrot sitting on the branch on the bank of Ganges when they reached. So as soon as Mahaprabhu saw that parrot, he grabbed him and said that you are none other than Sukadev Goswami from Krishna Leela. So this is Navdvip, land of Radha Krishna. Please chant glories of Radha Krishna. So that parrot replied, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari. So Mahaprabhu became disturbed and then he threw the parrot away, you know. So he said, I told you to chant Krishna's name. Why are you calling my name? You know, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari. Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he came, as you know, he didn't want to disclose his real identity as Supreme Lord. Rather, he presented himself as a devotee of the Lord. Because in this age of Kali, everyone, he knew that as time passes, everyone will claim that I am God, you are God, everyone is God, you know, and then it will pollute. And the whole society will be polluted. And there will be so many fake gods popping up every now and then everywhere. So he didn't want to disclose. But here this parrot is saying, Gaur Hari, you are Hari, you know, Lord Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, apparently he was angry, but within his heart he was in ecstasy. So he said, no, you chant glories of Radha Krishna. So then this parrot replied that this land, Navdvip, is none other than Sri Vrindavan. Same Vrindavan Dham has been transformed into Navdvip. And my beloved Srimati Radharani is here in front of me as a Gadadhar Pandit, and my Lord, you are none other than Krishna. So why should I chant Radha Krishna's name? And then he again, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari, chanted, and then he flew away. So that time, that was the first time it was revealed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani. Once Mukundadat came to Gadadhar Pandit's house and he mentioned that there is one very nice Vaishnava has come to Navdvip. So I desire you also come and see him. So Gadadhar Pandit agreed and he came. And Mukundadat took him to house of Pundrik Vidyanidhi. At this time, as he entered, he saw Pundrik Vidyanidhi is dressed up with very expensive and very nice silken garments, and he had so many ornaments on his body, and so many paraphernalia was around for his pleasure. And Gadadhar Pandit, seeing him, he had a doubt in his heart that Vaishnavas are simple, but here we see this person is surrounded by so much paraphernalia for sense gratification, in one sense. His hair is nicely combed, and you know, body is scented, and he is chewing pan. So this kind of things we don't see around Vaishnavas. But here Mukunda Dutt has brought me to see him, saying that he is a very advanced Vaishnava. How come? So he had this doubt, but he didn't say anything. But Mukunda Dutt understood what was happening in the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. So then he said, "You want to see?" Then Mukunda Dutt started singing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Aho Baki Kalukutam, that verse, that how Lord Krishna is so merciful that even the Baki, sister of Bakasur, Putana, came to kill Krishna, but Krishna not only drank her milk, which was poisoned, but also gave her position of Dhatri in the spiritual world, nurse, a mother, which is equal to position of Yashoda Mai, for example. So how merciful, who can be more merciful than that? So he started glorifying Lord Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. And as soon as Pundit Vidyanidhi heard that, he went into ecstasy. And he started chanting and dancing, and rolling on the ground and crying. And then 10 servants had to control him and pacify him. But then he fainted, remembering Lord Krishna and mercy of Krishna. So he fainted and he stayed unconscious for 6 hours. And after that, when he came out of his trance, Gadadhar Pandit understood, you know, what a glorious Vaishnava he is, what an advanced person he is. So he said, "See, I don't have any spiritual master so far. If one wants to advance in spiritual life, one has to accept spiritual master. So today, I will accept Pandit Vidyanidhi as my spiritual master." He expressed his desire, and the date was set, and then he took initiation. We know Pandit Vidyanidhi is none other than Vrishabhanu. So he is in Krishna Lila, Radharani's father, and here he becomes spiritual father of Radharani. Another time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that, "See, I have come here to spread glories of Lord Krishna, to do Sankirtan, to spread message of Lord Krishna for everyone's benefit. But as a grahastha, people don't take me seriously." So he thought, "Let me take sannyas." Because the culture is so that sannyasi is being respected, and people tend to listen and follow. So as a sannyasi, I will preach Sankirtan movement. And then he started telling his close associates one by one that this is my desire. And when Gadadhar Pandit heard that, he couldn't bear the thought of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. He started crying and saying, "You know, I can't see your beautiful hair. You shave up and take a danda and become sannyasi." But then he said, "You know, after all, you are swatantra, you are independent. So whatever you would like to do, and whatever pleases you, you please do." One point of time, now after taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Sachi Mata requested that, "See, Vrindavan is too far away. If you go there, then I won't hear about you anything. I don't know what you will be doing and how you will be, your welfare your well-being, I don't know. But here Navadvipa is very close by to Jagannath Puri, and Jagannath Puri is also a dham where Lord Krishna resides in form of Jagannath, Lord Jagannath. So please, you stay in Jagannath Puri, and Jagannath Puri is very close by, so we can always hear your activities and your well-being, how you are doing, and that way at least I will be little pacified. So Mahaprabhu agreed on that, and then he came to Jagannath Puri. Along with him came Gadadhar Pandit. So Mahaprabhu gave him a place near Jagannath temple known as Tota Gopinath temple, where he gave him a deity of Krishna and this place to reside and do his bhajan. And Mahaprabhu would go there time to time, and they both sit down and read Bhagavatam. It is said in Tota Gopinath temple, Mahaprabhu would ask Gadadhar Pandit to recite Bhagavatam, and Gadadhar Pandit would recite very melodiously in different meters. He would sing, and Mahaprabhu would relish Bhagavatam. And especially when it comes to Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, this section what we are reading, and even Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, Mahaprabhu would say, repeat again. So Gadadhar Pandit would repeat again, and then he would again repeat. Once it finishes, again he said, please say again. So like that it can go for, 50 times, 100 times. Mahaprabhu would keep asking, repeating same pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, and Mahaprabhu would listen. So this was going on in Jagannath Puri in Tota Gopinath temple. Once Vallabha Bhatt, this is in this Leela we can see how Gadadhar Pandit is very soft and compassionate at heart. This Vallabha Bhatt, he was a Brahmana, very learned and very sincere devotee also. He happened to see Mahaprabhu when Mahaprabhu was traveling to Jagannath Puri. He went through Allahabad, Varanasi, in those areas, Prayag. So he happened to see this Vallabha Bhatt, and then he returned. Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri after some time. So this Vallabha Bhatt knew the glories of Mahaprabhu. So he wanted to go and see him again and have some association and learn from him. So he came to Jagannath Puri once, and he came and had a darshan of Mahaprabhu, and he started glorifying Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu in return would glorify his devotees, and one by one he started naming Gadadhar Pandit, all the different devotees, and he said, whatever I have learned from them. I learned something from him, I learned this thing from him, and he started glorifying his devotees rather than taking the glories what was offered from Bhattacharya. And then this Bhattacharya, Vallabha Bhatt, he said, oh wonderful, where are these devotees? I want to see them. And Mahaprabhu said, okay, we'll see them. You arrange prasadam, we all will come. And you can see them. And then there was a big festival. And there, Vallabha Bhatt saw all the devotees, and they were so amazing. He got simply amazed seeing all the devotees, how they behave, how they talk, how they serve each other, what a loving and caring attitude they had for each other. And he was very much impressed. And Vallabha Bhatt was naturally devotee, and of course he was very good scholar as well. He was very learned scholar. He knew the Shastras. But Mahaprabhu would knew, as a Paramatma, as a Krishna within everyone's heart, he knew that Vallabha Bhatt has little pride of his scholarship. So Vallabha Bhatt presented, he came to Mahaprabhu and he wanted to present his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. But Mahaprabhu, knowing little pride in his heart, he wanted to purify him. He wanted to rectify. He wanted to give some mercy to him. So he wouldn't listen. He said, Mahaprabhu said, you know, no, no, I don't want to listen. All do I do, all is chant holy name. That's all I do, you know. I don't want to listen anything. So Vallabha Bhatt said, I have commentary on Krishna's holy name as well. He said, no, I know only two names, you know. One is Shyam Sundar and one is Yashoda Nandan. You know? That's all I chant. I don't chant anything else. I don't know anything. So Mahaprabhu didn't listen. So Vallabha Bhatt was a little bit upset. So he went away. And he, one by one, he started approaching all the devotees he met. And started telling that I want to tell my commentary on Bhagavatam, you know, you listen. But everyone knew that Mahaprabhu rejected. So no one would agree on that. You know, no one would sit down and listen to that commentary. Because Mahaprabhu didn't listen, so why should we? You know? That will not please Mahaprabhu. So everyone would give some excuse and, you know, go away. And then Vallabha Bhatt was very much, you know, depressed, you know, what is this? You know? No one is listening to my commentary. And one day he came to Gadadhar Pandit's house. And Gadadhar Pandit, as a very gentle person, we saw, you know, he's so compassionate. He would never ever offend anyone. So this Vallabha Bhatt expressed his desire, and within no time he started reciting his commentary. So this Gadadhar Pandit said and then listened. And in the heart he was praying and asking for forgiveness from Mahaprabhu. That, you know, Mahaprabhu, please forgive me. You know, I cannot help. I'm just listening, but I know I always worship you and you are within my heart. You know, but please excuse me. I'm sitting here and I'm hearing from him. You haven't heard, but please don't take it other way. Like that he was praying within his heart. So every day Vallabha Bhatt would come and then he would listen. He would recite his commentary and Gadadhar Pandit would listen. So here we see how Gadadhar Pandit was so much compassionate and so gentle in his behavior. And he would listen. And later on, Vallabha Bhatt realized what happened. He again went to Mahaprabhu and said, that, see, I have written commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, but I haven't, I have completely ignored commentary of Sridhar Swami, he said. So Sridhar Swami is the original commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vallabha Bhatt Acharya said like that, that I have ignored, I have completely ignored commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam written by Sridhar Swami. So Mahaprabhu didn't like that and he replied in a way, very diplomatically way. He said that one who rejects Swami, Swami is called husband, husband is also called Swami. So one who rejects husband is prostitute. That's what he said. So in other words, you know, the teachings has to come from Parampara. We have rejected Sridhar Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam, which even I adore and refer and, you know, study. So you are like prostitute. And the Mahaprabhu left. And that night, Vallabha had a dream. And he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And I had pride of my scholarship and he wanted to purify me and rectify me. So next day he comes and apologizes and pays obeisances and asks for forgiveness. And then he becomes very good Vaishnava. So since then he was, till then he was worshipping Baal Gopal. And then later on he was raised into the Madhurya Leela. You know, then he started worshipping Kishore Gopal. So that Sampradaya is still here. Vallabha Sampradaya, we know that. And that same Vallabhacharya, later becomes Vallabhacharya, same Vallabha Bhatt, took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. So he has connection with the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya as well, this Vallabha Sampradaya. So here we heard about gentle and compassionate nature of Gadadhar Pandit, who is none other than Srimati Radharani. I'll mention one more Leela and then end. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to Tota Gopinath temple every day and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. One day Sri Nityanand Prabhu came to Tota Gopinath temple and he brought very beautiful, very fragrant and very beautiful rice. And he presented to Gadadhar Pandit and said, please cook this rice for our deity. And Gadadhar Pandit saw that rice and it was not from this world. He said, you know, did you bring this personally from Vaikuntha? It was so nicely formed, nice texture, nice color, nice fragrance, very beautiful to look at that rice. So Gadadhar Pandit very happily cooked with so much love and devotion and then offered to Gopinath. And when the offering was there on the altar, Mahaprabhu entered Gopinath temple, Tota Gopinath temple. And that time he said that Nityanand Prabhu has brought this rice, Gadadhar has cooked it, and now Gopinath has accepted it. I want my share. So please let us sit down and honor this beautiful Mahaprasad. So they all sat down. And Gadadhar Pandit would serve Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu and all the other devotees. So it is said that he was, the act of serving was also so gentle and so loving and so much affectionate that everyone could feel Gadadhar Pandit's love for each and every Vaishnava. The way he was serving with so much affection. It is said that even the simple activities like serving prasadam is very, very transforming to the other person who receives the prasadam, you know, from such a good Vaishnava. So when we serve our prasadam, it's not like, you know, we slap on the plate, you know, prasadam. And we see that in restaurants and feeding poor, for example, you know, all these things, they just give prasadam, you know, I'll give you, I'll get paid for that. Not like that, you know, we serve with so much love. I'm giving Krishna to you in form of Mahaprasad. So with that affection he would serve, Gadadhar Pandit would serve prasadam to all the devotees. And whoever ate that prasad, received, cooked by Radharani, Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Radharani, and served by Radharani, they all transformed. They felt ecstasy in devotional service. And one day, when Kirtan was going on in Tota Gopinath temple, Mahaprabhu opened the altar and he went inside and closed the door. Sorry, altar was open already. He went inside and closed the doors. So he would do time to time. Many times devotees have seen that. Mahaprabhu go into Tota Gopinath's altar and then close the door. Because he felt so much separation always. But sometimes he would feel that, you know, let me go and embrace Gopinath. You know, so he would do that. We shouldn't do that. We should always serve Radha Vallabha in awe and reverence. In your mind you can do all the Raganuga Bhakti. So Mahaprabhu would embrace Gopinath. So devotees thought Mahaprabhu has went inside. But after some time, each and every Kirtanya who was singing everywhere, everyone felt kind of intense separation from Mahaprabhu. That, you know, Krishna has left the heart, something like that they felt. And devotees entered and they opened the door and entered into Gopinath's altar. And they could find only Gopinath standing there. Mahaprabhu was missing. So it says Mahaprabhu entered in that deity. That deity is still there in Tota Gopinath temple. So that was the end of Mahaprabhu's Bhauma Leela, earthly pastimes. And it is said after that, Gadadhar Pandit, in a spiritual spiritual manner, we can understand this thing. It is not seen in our regular life. Gadadhar Pandit would age years on daily basis. Like today you see him, and next day you see him, you feel like, you know, he is 1 year older. So he would age very fast every day. Within 10 days, he was like, you know, he aged 10 years more because of his feeling separation from Mahaprabhu. So he would age so fast, and at one point he became so old that he couldn't perform his deity worship to Gopinath regularly. He wouldn't do. But still he continued, and he was struggling. One day he was struggling so much to put garland on Gopinath's neck, because Gopinath is quite tall. And here he was very old now, and he was struggling to put garland on Gopinath. And then Gopinath saw that, and Gopinath now sat down so he can receive garland from Gadadhar Pandit, and Gadadhar Pandit could offer. So that deity is in sitting position. For Gadadhar Pandit, he bent and sat down. Generally, we see Krishna standing. So this was Gadadhar Pandit. And later on, Srinivas Acharya comes. And he heard the news that Mahaprabhu has left the world. Now, he had intense desire to see Mahaprabhu, but he missed on that. So he started going to see all the chief associates and all the Vaishnavas in Navadvip and Jagannath Puri. So he came to Jagannath Puri to see Gadadhar Pandit. Because Mahaprabhu came in his dream and then told him that, go to Gadadhar Pandit, he is none other than me. He is not different than me. So you learn from him. You will learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. Although I have left, but he is still present. So go to Gadadhar Pandit and learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So he came, Srinivas Acharya came, and he saw Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit's Bhagavatam, he presented, you know, and he said, you know, what can I teach you? You know, you won't understand from this Bhagavatam. And he showed the Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam he used to recite every day from. Because Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they both would cry whenever they would recite Srimad Bhagavatam. They would cry, and that those tears completely drenched Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the ink got merged into paper. So hardly you could read from that Bhagavatam. And those days it wasn't like that, you know, everywhere Srimad Bhagavatam sat is available. It was just one copy with Gadadhar Pandit. So he mentioned that, yes, you please go to Navadvip again and get one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we'll study, because it's not readable anymore. So Srivas Acharya goes back, and he comes back on the way with Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he reaches Jagannath Puri, border of Jagannath Puri, he receives the news that Gadadhar Pandit has left this world. Because Gadadhar Pandit also couldn't bear the separation, and he left the world. And then, of course, Srinivas Acharya went to Vrindavan, and he studied under Srila Jiva Goswami, because Gadadhar Pandit appeared in the dream of Srivas Acharya and told him, now you go there and study under them. So like that, Gadadhar Pandit's glories are unlimited. He is none other than Srimati Radharani, who is full of compassion, very soft-hearted, very gentle, and always ready to give abundance of mercy to his devotees. So we heard today some of his glories. All goes to Sri Gadadhar Pandit ki. All goes to Sri Panchatattva. All goes to Srila Prabhupada, and all goes to assembled Vaishnavas.